Did you notice we had a spontaneous baptism? Congratulations, Carson. We love you, brother. God bless you. We're going to have a message today about our founding of the church and the founder of our denomination. Then we'll have some sharing time and sing the doxology. And we've got food over there, watermelon, ice cream, burgers, corn dogs, it's all ready to go, and we invite you to stay in fellowship with us. As you know, Living Rock Church is celebrating 20 years today, and I want to tell you how this work got started. In 2002, five families from Norwood, Young America, they wanted to reach this community with the gospel. So after several months of meeting, they joined up with members of Parkside Church Waconia, and a young staff was hired from Crown College. This is the Crown College section right here today. So that young staff was hired, and they officially organized as an alliance church, and Living Rock was born in August 2002. But what is an alliance church? Or the long name is Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. What is that that helped Living Rock Church get started? That's the rest of the story. And to tell that story, we have to go back more than 20 years. We have to go back 179 years to another birthday of a man named Albert Benjamin Simpson. He's the founder of the worldwide work of the Alliance. He's my hero of the faith I want to tell you about today. This story is part of our story too. A.B. Simpson was born in December 15th, 1843, on Prince Edward Island, on the ocean side of Prince Edward Island. He was the fourth of nine children. His father and mother were strict Scottish Presbyterians, and the children were raised in a God-fearing home. At the age of three, the family moved from their oceanside home and business. His father's shipping business went downhill due to a bad economy. So they got on a ship and they sailed to Chatham, Ontario with several other families because they had to start all over again. Chatham, Ontario is between Detroit and Toronto. So they settled into a new home, and as soon as they got there, the city was hit by a plague and many of the children died, and Simpson's sister died soon after they moved. Mom said, let's get out of town. They bought a 100-acre farm 9 miles north of town, and they moved into a log home. Simpson took up farming. He knew nothing about farming. On Sundays, the family took a horse and wagon and rode 9 miles to church. Sunday afternoons, the kids were home. They stood up in the living room, and Dad made them answer questions from the Shorter Catechism, all 150 of them. That was their Sunday afternoons. But by the age of eight, Simpson felt called by God to be a preacher. Now he's in his early teens. Simpson brought the boys in one day and said the oldest brother would go to school, and Albert, he had to stay home and run the farm. And Albert pleaded with his dad, please let me go to school. I'll pay my own way if I have to. And Dad said, all right, you can go to school. You'll have to pay your own way. So the brothers rode their horses 9 miles to town, where they were tutored by Presbyterian ministers, and they learned Latin, Greek, mathematics, and grammar. At the age of 14, Simpson started high school. He stayed in a boarding house in town during the week. He was a hardworking student, very ambitious. He always wanted to be the very best. And this is when Simpson had his first crisis. He went to the lake one day with his friends. He got too far out. He didn't know how to swim, and he was drowning. And there were some fishermen on the lake, and if they hadn't been there, he would have died. He was shaken by this experience. He wasn't sure of any of his salvation. He went to hear a preacher in town who was holding meetings. His name was Guinness. Oh, he was fiery. He heard a message about the last days and about judgment, about heaven, about hell. He was under such great conviction. He didn't know what to do, so he decided to walk home. He was so weak, he got lost on the way home. His parents did not know where he was. His father found him lying in a cemetery. The Presbyterians teach that God predestines the saved. Young Simpson was taught that, but he didn't have any assurance of his salvation. He said, "Nobody told me of the sweet and simple gospel of Jesus." He was spiritually, emotionally, and physically shattered and broken. A doctor ordered Simpson to quit school. He was not to pick up a book for a year. He was 14. At the age of 15, he began to recover. He went to see his pastor. He found a book on the shelf, and I guess it had been a year, so it was okay to read books. He picked up this book by an author named Marshall, and he read this: "The first good work you'll ever perform is to believe on the Lord Jesus. Until you do this, all your works, prayers, tears, good resolutions are vain. To believe in the Lord Jesus is just to believe that He saves you according to His word, that He receives and saves you here and now." Well, it was like thunder hit his mind and heart. He fell on his knees. He said, "Lord Jesus, you know how long and how earnestly I've tried to come to you, but I didn't know how to come. But now I come the best I can. I dare to believe that you receive me and save me now. I am your child, forgiven and saved, simply because I take you at your word." And Simpson, for the first time in his life at the age of 15, had assurance of his salvation. And when you see this symbol of the alliance, this cross, front and central, that means Christ is our Savior. At the age of 16, he started teaching public school to make money to go to college. He was preparing for entrance exams, and he was a very gifted teacher. At the age of 17, he entered college, Knox College and Seminary in Toronto. He crammed 6 years of education into four. Remember, he's working at the same time, trying to pay his own way through school. But he entered several contests for his writing, and he won lots of money for his writing. One of his papers was on infant baptism. He won an award for that. He won some money for that. It's funny because later on in his life, he went to a Baptist preacher and got baptized. Part of his school training was to go to area churches and preach, and he was a gifted preacher. Even at the age of 17, he was a gifted preacher. At the age of 21, here's what he did. He graduated with high honors. He was ordained in the Presbyterian Church, and that was not easy. That was quite an examination. He got hired by Knox Presbyterian Church, and then he married Margaret Henry, all in like a few weeks. And he would be married to Margaret for 54 years. So he spent his 20s, from age 21 to 29, pastoring his first church. In the first 6 years, they had three children, Albert, Melville, and James. But at the age of 27, he's 27 years old, and he, as we say now, he was burned out. Burned out. He was physically, emotionally, mentally drained. He weighed 146 pounds. And look what he said about himself. He called himself a mental imbecile. The doctor ordered him rest. The church graciously sent him on a 3.5-month tour. Where did he go? Europe. One of the things he did there is he visited John Knox's church and home. That's another hero of the faith Levi preached on. He went to Charles Spurgeon's church. He went to Switzerland, and the Lord just restored his courage, and his health came back. The next year, at the age of 28, another daughter, Mabel, was born. But that same year, their three-year-old child, Melvin, grew sick and died. At the age of 29, Simpson was done at his first church. He resigned. On the outside, everything looked great. The church was growing. He was successful. He was making good money. But this is what he said about pastoring the first 10 years. He said, it was all about duty. I had little joy, little fellowship. In a word, my heart was unsanctified. I had not learned the secret of the indwelling Christ. So at the age of 30, he moved his family, his Canadian family, to the U.S. Where did they go? Louisville, Kentucky. And he pastored a large, prestigious Presbyterian church there. His first sermon was from Matthew 17. And that's the story of Christ's transfiguration when he was shining up there in the mountain. And Peter, James, and John were with him. And Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah. And there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." The disciples fell on their faces. Christ went over to them and told them, "Do not be afraid. Stand up." And then in the King James, it says this, "They stood up and the disciples saw no man save Jesus only." They saw no man save Jesus only. Now, this tells us a lot about A.B. Simpson. Here he comes to this brand new church, and he's telling them, "Don't you be looking at me, the new pastor. Look to Jesus. Listen to Jesus only." That's what he was telling them. He said, "I shall not prove to be the apostle of any new revelation or become the exponent of any new truth. In coming to you, I am not ashamed to own this and take these words as the motto of my preaching. Jesus only." That was his message in his new church. And I have some show and tell. There's A.B. Simpson. How about that beard? Look how he signed. He's in his 40s. Look how he signed this picture. Jesus only. And that lets you know who he was and what was on his mind as he began his second pastorate. Well, the city of Louisville was torn apart by the Civil War. And the churches were divided too. Now, Simpson was a Canadian. He didn't pick sides in the Civil War. So God used him to bring the pastors together for a week of prayer so those relationships could heal. And then he said, "Let's get together and unite and bring the gospel to our city." And that's what they did. They planned 3 weeks of revival meetings in the city. They rented a hall that seated 2,000, and it was packed every night. They brought in an evangelist named Reverend Whittle. This man got to everybody's heart. He got to Simpson's heart. It made Simpson long for more. Then Simpson preached during this revival and did very well, and God used him in a powerful way. What happened? The city was revived. The churches and the pastors were revived. There was no doubt that A.B. Simpson was a gifted, popular, respected, and successful pastor. But inwardly, he was still dying. He still felt empty. His church was wealthy and big and fashionable, but he said it didn't seem to have any spiritual life. And that was him too. Why don't I have more of a spiritual life? Jesus only was his model, but he wanted more of Jesus. So at the age of 31, Simpson had another crisis of faith. He wanted to be filled with Jesus, to be filled with the Spirit. He didn't know where to go, so he heard about a guy named D.L. Moody preaching in Chicago. He jumped on a plane and went, a train and went to Chicago, and he thought Moody could help him have a deeper life, it was called, in Christ. So he got to the tent meeting early, and a man stood up and gave a testimony. He said, "I came here last night to hear Brother Moody, but I saw Jesus instead, and he's all I need." So Simpson got up, went back to the train station, and went home. He didn't even stay to hear Moody. Jesus is all I need. He couldn't get those words out of his mind. So he went back home, went to his office, and he prayed all night to be filled with Jesus, to be empty of himself. Only Jesus, all of Jesus. Something happened that night. He calls it his crisis experience when he was filled with the Holy Spirit and when he was done living for himself. A.W. Tozer wrote about this. He said, God only knows what happened that night. He said the eagle had broken loose and stretched its wings. I love that. Simpson found Christ as his sanctifier. That's the cup in the symbol. Christ was his sanctifier. He filled him. At the age of 32, things are going well in Louisville. They started a building project. And the congregation wanted to build a 2,500-seat tabernacle. 2,500 seats. But Simpson and the building committee didn't agree on the plan. They didn't agree. They fought. The project took 3 years. It was way over costs. Simpson wanted it to be simple, cheaper. He wanted to pay for it. Well, all this stress led to another breakdown. Yes, another breakdown. You know, it's not unusual for a pastor to burn out during a building project. It's a lot of strain. So once again, Simpson, he's under doctor's orders. He's 32. He's under doctor's orders to get rest. So he disappears to New York for 5 months to get physical and mental help. He disappeared. And some of the people at the church in Louisville wondered if he'd ever come back. And so it was a little rough. There was a rough patch here. But he did come back. He came back for a year and a half. He preached in the new building. But he was never happy in the new building because it was too opulent for him and he would not dedicate a building with so much debt. At the age of 34, little baby Margaret was born. And when she was older, she was just like Dad, just like him. And she would be Simpson's secretary. And without Margaret, we would not have Simpson's books and sermons and commentaries and hymns because she put it all in writing. At the age of 35 years old, Simpson resigned from his Louisville church. Where was he going? New York City. New York City. He would take a large and influential Presbyterian church there. His wife, Margaret, did not agree. She was so upset with him, so bitter. On the train to New York City, Simpson rode in one car and the family rode in another. His wife was so bitter at him. She said this, I don't want to raise my children in the devil's playground. One writer said, it took 20 years of marriage before Albert and Margaret got on the same page. And the move to New York City happened in the 14th year of marriage. Well, thank God she hung in there for 6 more years, and then she became a big part of the ministry. Why did Simpson go to New York City? Because his heart was pounding to reach the world with the gospel, and to do this, he had to be in New York so he could launch missionaries out and preach the gospel to the millions of immigrants coming in. So that's where he wanted to set up shop. At the age of 36, ministry began in New York City. What was his first sermon? Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And Simpson had his eye on the ends of the earth, and he was going to move his church to reach the ends of the earth. So how was he going to do this? He started publishing a missionary magazine. It was an illustrated missionary magazine. It was the first of its kind. because he wanted to rally churches in a missionary movement. And then during the week, he'd go down to the docks, the fishing docks in New York City, and preach on the streets and preach to the immigrants there. Many of the Italian immigrants there came to Christ. But here's the first problem. He tried to bring them into membership in his church, and the elders said, no, we can't have those folks here. So Simpson said, my church wanted a conventional parish for respectable Christians. What I wanted was a multitude of publicans and sinners. So he was out of sorts with his own church. They promised him they would help him reach the world, and then they shut the door. At the age of 37, Simpson was depressed. Poor health came back. He was weak and winded. He carried a little bottle of ammonia in his pocket. It's like a smelling salt to wake him up if he fainted. And so for the fourth time in his life, he had a breakdown. And this time, the doctors told him if he didn't rest, he didn't have long to live. It was very serious. How old is he? He's 37 years old. So Simpson took his family to Saratoga Springs and to Maine to rest that summer. And it was at this camp meeting at a place called Old Orchard, Maine, right by the ocean there, that Simpson knelt down one day in the pine needles. He put his arms up and he asked God to heal his weak body and heart. And he said he felt something like a shock go through his body, but he doubted really that anything happened. A few days later, he was invited by the youth group to hike up a 3,000-foot mountain. Peer pressure. He took a few steps. He thought he was going to die. But he said, no, I think God healed me. And he climbed that 3,000-foot mountain that day. When he got to the top, he said, I felt like I was at the gates of heaven, and a world of weakness and fear was lying at my feet. I love that. A world of weakness and fear was lying at my feet. I'm a mountain climber now. He hadn't been able to hardly walk up a set of stairs for years. So something undeniably happened to him. He was healed. It was not a faith cure. It was the Lord. So he found Christ to be his healer. And on our symbol, this picture here represents a pitcher of oil. Christ is our healer. Well, how do you know he was healed? Well, because for the next 35 years, he had no more breakdowns. And people said he did the work of 4 to 5 men. In fact, this part of his story is so impossible because you can't keep track of all the work. I could not keep track of all the work. Things were just flying off the shelves. Ministry was happening all over New York City. So with this new strength, Simpson said, I'm gonna leave my church. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to take aggressive measures. That's what he said, aggressive measures to start a global missionary movement. Now, was his wife happy? No, she was not happy because Simpson was giving up a parsonage. At the time, his salary would have been equivalent to $110,000, $120,000 salary and benefits, no home, the 5 children. How are you going to feed them on no income? But Simpson was the eagle. He just took off from the nest, and he'd figure it out as they went. God would take care of him and his wife and his family. The following week, Simpson rented a dance hall. He invited his friends to come and join this new worldwide missionary work, and 7 people showed up. Now remember, he's not trying to start a church. He didn't think he could do this work inside the confines of a church. He was starting a parachurch, a society, like a YMCA, Youth for Christ, so he could organize Christians and churches into a worldwide work. So they still met every week, and Simpson preached every week. And so it sure looked like a church and felt like a church, but no, it wasn't a church. The next year at age 38, 300 people were coming to these meetings. And for 8 years, they bounced all around New York City in rented halls, and they met in tents and theaters. And then he decided to start a new missionary magazine to get the word about missions out. And all of you should have received one of these. It's called Alliance Life. This magazine is still going, which he started at this time, to talk about the worldwide missionary work of the Alliance. It's very good. In fact, the first article is about A.B. Simpson, so take a look at it today. And then he decided to start a school, a missionary training school. It was the first of its kind in the U.S. He wanted to bring students in, train them for a year, maybe a two, and get them out overseas to preach the gospel. And then he named his fellowship the Gospel Tabernacle. And then he started doing evangelistic campaigns all over New York City. They met in Madison Square Garden. They met in Carnegie Hall. They met everywhere, and he filled it with gospel preaching. At age 39, he starts a union so he can send out missionaries to the world. And then he did these giant conventions. And always a part of the convention, he would raise money. And what was the money for? So they could support the missionaries, so they could go out and work full time. At the age of 40, they sent their first missionaries out to the Congo in Africa. 4 of the 7 missionaries died, most of it because of malaria. It was a gigantic mess, a big setback. He was criticized because he didn't prepare them properly to handle life in the Congo. But their blood was not wasted. Today in the Congo, there's more than 1 million believers in the Alliance. In sub-Sahara Africa, there's more than 2.3 million people worshiping Jesus in Alliance churches. At the age of 43, he started the Christian Alliance and the Missionary Alliance so he could build this society to raise money to send missionaries out, the Christian Alliance and Missionary Alliance. He would later unite them into, here's a name, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. How creative is that? It's like in our town. Our town used to be Norwood and Young America. And 20-some years ago, they said, let's get together. Let's get a name. So they said, I got an idea. Let's call it Norwood Young America. Okay, so what a long name. We have a long name. At the age of 46, Simpson finally got a home for his church and a headquarters for his mission. It was called the Gospel Tabernacle. It was a 7-story building with a sanctuary, with a missionary training school, with housing for 100 students and missionaries. It was 2 blocks from Times Square. And you know what? The building's still there. Cindy and I went a few years ago. It's now a really, really fancy pizza shop. It's so cool. You can still see the stage. And there's a big wraparound balcony. And they had good food. And you can see these symbols on the windows inside the pizza shop. Well, by the time he was 47, the society he was building had a surge of 300 missionaries sent out over a time period of 5 years. And all of these missionaries were fully supported. How? Through Simpson's fundraising for them at these summer missionary conventions. At 1 week convention, he would raise sometimes over $100,000. People would give property, they would give jewelry, they would give stocks. All the money went to support the missionaries, so the missionaries would not have to raise money, so they could move into a new country, learn the language, learn the culture, and preach the gospel. I need to tell you something. A.B. Simpson never took a paycheck. All that money he raised went to missionaries. He never took a paycheck. He had his own businesses on the side, a little printing business. He had a restaurant. His kids were helping with that. And that's what he lived on. All the money he raised went to missions. So they joined these two societies into the Christian Missionary Alliance when he was 53. And then Simpson began to travel. He made three extended trips all over the world: China, Japan, India, Israel, Syria, Egypt, South America, Ecuador. He had hundreds of missionaries all over the world, and he went to visit hundreds of missionaries to learn about the field and write about what God was doing in the world in his missionary publications. When he was 72 years old, another school started called Crown College. And many of us know about Crown, and we're so thankful for Crown College. And then when he was 75, Simpson had a stroke, and he died shortly after this at his home. His dear wife died 5 years later. What motivated him? You know, God not only healed him when he was 37, it's almost like God gave him superpowers. I mean, he did so much work. He worked until he was 70. And A.W. Tozer said he did the work of five men, but then he became exhausted like five men would be. And so he began to slow down only when he was in his 70s. What motivated him? There's one more symbol. It's the crown. It was the return of the king. That's what motivated him. One day a reporter from the New York Journal called up Simpson and asked him, "Do you know when Jesus is coming?" "Yes," Simpson said, "and I'll tell you if you promise to print what I say, and only what I say." The reporter opened up his notebook. Simpson said, "Write this down. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come." Matthew 24:14. Write that down. Matthew 24:14. Now you print that just like I said it. The reporter said, "Do you mean to say you believe that when the gospel has been preached, Jesus will return?" "Just that," Simpson said. Then the reporter said, "I think I'm beginning to see daylight." "What do you see?" Simpson said. "I see what motivates you and the powerful motivation of this movement." Today we celebrate our 20th birthday. But along with us, we're just one church. There's 24,000 Alliance churches today meeting around the world. We're just a few hundred today. But there's 6.3 million Alliance believers around the world today. We're speaking English today in this church, trying to. But in Alliance churches around the world, they're speaking in 180 languages in their worship services. 35 years of powerful work from the life of A.B. Simpson and his wife, Margaret, joining him. Why did I study? Why did I tell you about this hero of the faith? Because to know A.B. Simpson is to know what makes Living Rock Church so unique, so courageous, so nimble, and so on fire about Jesus, only Jesus. Now, what are those superpowers that are going to keep us going for 20 more years? By the way, who was here 20 years ago on day one? Raise your hand. I'm seeing about six hands. Wow. So what superpowers will we have to keep going for 20 more years? What will give us that aggressive spirit like Simpson had so we can build our own home? Here it is. Jesus is our Savior. He's our sanctifier. He's our healer. He's our coming King. That's our power. Living Rock. Our motto is this: Jesus only. Amen.